sentences for the foolish Shema, for the Eliezer Ben?
Rina
Raisel. Okay, I want to thank Amaria Graber for arranging this, if that's what it can be called. And he said I can talk with it about whatever I want. So, and then he said, but please don't talk about Torah Mother. So I said, okay. But I do want to talk, I assume most of the guys here, or at least some of you, are smicha people, and everybody here is learning more or less to a certain degree, right? That's part of the reason for Yeshiva University, as I recall. So I just want to talk a little bit, just briefly, about Limud HaTorah. Most people, when we get educated about learning Torah, it's to gain facts, glean facts. Avraham Avinu was born here, and he lived there, and he was such and such an age. He moved from there to there, and Yitzchak Avinu this, and Yaakov Avinu that, and then we learn further, Mishnayos and Gemara, it's all the same thing. This is Mutter, this is also, this is Rabbi Yehuda's Zadeya, this is Rabbi Meir, the Chum disagree, there's a Mishnah over here, there's a Bryce over there. It's all facts. The truth is, right, I mean, Talmud Torah connect Kulam, and there's, talk a whole night about that. When you open up a sefer, you have to realize that what's inside that sefer, whatever sefer it is, whether it's Torah B'Ksav, Torah Shebaal Peh, right, whether it's somebody contemporary, or whether it's all the way back to Chazal, or further back to the Nevi'im, and even earlier, when you open up a sefer, what's there is Amuna, Yerushalayim, Kedusha, and Tahara, right? And the facts, right? And that's whether you open up, a Mechaber, whether you open up Shemus Adeshin, doesn't matter, right? That's there. But you can only get it if you want it, right? And when you open up a sefer to learn, you have to learn to know what's going on, but you have to learn almanas to walk away a greater mammon with a little bit more kedusha and tahara, right? Especially in the world that we live in, right, which is one big trap in a certain sense, where even though in the base of medicine you've just learned a little piece of Mesillas Yesharim or a piece of Agadatha, and you're on fire for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, but you walk out outside the base of Medrash and all bets are off. Because who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what you're going to meet up with? Right? And as Reb Nachman said, almost in passing, about the human condition, that we're on a rowboat and a tempest-tossed sea. And you don't know when the wind or when a wave is going to come and throw your whole ship, upside down. Right? And I'm not talking in a physical sense, I'm talking about challenges in Amunah and other challenges that we face. Right? So when you sit down and you learn, whatever you're learning it, whenever you're learning it, you have to be aware that I'm not only here for the mutzah also, kosher puzzle for a tame, but I'm also here for the amuna, right? And that's something that you can come to only if you want it. Right? We were talking in the car on the way here. There are people, I don't want to disparage any Jews, so I won't mention them. There are people at the Vatican who can learn as well as anybody in this room, maybe even better, and no more. But it doesn't really help them a whole lot because it's still only at the Vatican. But when we learn, we're changing our whole mahus, not just our content of our mind, which is a big plus, but we're changing our whole mahus and we're becoming bigger ma'aminim. Okay. That's a little bit about Limud Torah. Which, I mean, everybody knows that Rabbi Nachman is very big on tefillah. Rabbi Nachman himself said, Gormain Zach is tefillah. Like my whole inyan, my whole essence is davening. I need tefillah. Right, the Rebbe put it in a different way. But what people don't realize is that Rabbi Nachman stressed very, very much Nimud HaTorah. Not only because of the Salma Torah Kenei Kulam, but he said if we would know the Koyach HaTorah, we would realize that no Jew, including ourselves, is beyond hope. That the Koyach HaTorah is so great that even if you get the biggest Rishoyim, whoever they might be, to sit and learn with a Kavias, even 15, 20 minutes a day, but they would learn day in and day out, 20 minutes a day, ultimately the Koyach HaTorah would break through whatever needs breaking through, and they would change Lamuta. They would turn over a totally new leaf. So, Breslov is about Torah and Tefillah. Right? Should I talk about Tefillah? Okay, we'll get there soon, maybe. Okay. A little bit we'll have to talk about Simcha, right? Everybody knows, Rabbi Nachman said, Mitzvah Gedoyle Liyos B'Simcha Tamid. The Rebbe gives a mashal, this is in the Likutei Maran, Tinyana, the second part, which was printed after Rabbi Nachman's Ketira. And Torah Chaf Gimel, a very short Torah. And Reb Nachman starts off with a mashal of people dancing. Yidden had some sort of celebration, and they're dancing the way Yidden dance in a circle. And there's one person standing on the outside of the circle, and he's miserable. Really, really miserable. And the people in the circle grab hold of him. And the Rebbe's lashon is Bal Korchoi. They force him into the circle and they make him dance along. And not only that, Bal Korchoi, against his will, they force him to be besimcha together with them. This is the Rebbe's mashal of how a person has to be besimcha. Usually, when you think of being with Simcha, you take a poll of what people want to be with Simcha. I mentioned this last week, right? What will make you happy? If I got straight A's, if I get into the graduate school of my choice, if the girl will say yes when I propose, if the deal will come through, if I get this, if I get that, if I get. If mommy and daddy will give me a lollipop, I'll be very happy. Right? If Hashem gives me the Lexus, I'll be very happy. That's the same sort of infantile simcha. That's what most people think about when they think about being with simcha. That if I get what I want, then I'll be happy. And if not, if I can't be healthy, if I can't set up my life the way I want it, then I'll be some degree of miserable. That's not what simcha is. Simcha is turning the challenges of life into success. Right? And when I say success, I don't mean necessarily that you actually scaled Mount Everest, that was your challenge and you did it, but that you dealt with a difficult situation. Many people have this notion that Yiddishkeit in general, Hasidus in particular, is very, that's what I'm looking for, meek, very retreating, passive. If you go through Likutei Maran and the other corpus of Breslov literature, pardon the expression, right, you see that Rabbi Nachman says, wants us to be proactive. Daven more, learn more, do more chesed. Don't wait for Hashem to fix it and make it right. You have to go and make it right. you have to grab the problem that's in your life, the difficult situation, the issues that you're facing, and schlep them into the circle and make that which you understand right now as being a cause of pain, you have to integrate that into your life and make it and recognize it as a source and a reason to be besimcha. Right. Let's see if I can give an example. Right. So make it more practical. This Torah, Likut Maran, this Torah Chav Gimel, is very short. In the older classic editions of Likut Maran, it's about a half a column. And Rav Nosson, in Likut HaLochas, everybody here has heard of Rav Nosson, Breslover? Anybody not? Oh, Baruch Hashem, very good. Impressed. Right. And Likut HaLochas says Rav Nosson has like 16 pages on this lesson. And the central theme of what the Rebbe calls in the Torah, turning yogin v'anocha, anxiety and worry, you know, frustration and nervousness, into sasim v'simcha, right? The essence of that relates to marriage. Anybody here married besides Rabbi Atkins? Right. Happily married, right? Good. I'll tell her you said so. That the in married life, right? I'll tell the kids, wanted to have the simcha of being over the Hashem non-stop. That's why they didn't get married. They just wanted to be, they wanted to remain guys their whole life, no responsibilities, nothing to do except sitting and learning in the Beis Midrash and davening when they wanted to daven and learning when they wanted to daven, and that's it. And because that's where they were holding, and they were untested, right? Didn't have to deal with the family situation. When they wanted to bring Keteris, they couldn't do it, and they died, right? Because we know, Al Pi Arizal, that the Keteris is the most powerful carbon. All the carbonists reach into the deepest nether worlds of physicality and bring it back up and turn into something of Kedusha. And the Keteris, even more so. Right? But one who's unpracticed in dealing with challenging situations, as soon as he meets a challenge, finished. And to be besimcha tamid means not running away and living in some ivory tower. Right? Unchallenged, but it means going out and dealing with the challenges, right? And within the framework of married life, that's where a person ends up meeting all the challenges of dealing with somebody of the other gender, challenges of money, financing the corporation, i.e. the family, right? And everything else, you know, it wasn't so easy to raise you, right? You may be a nice guy now, but you know, you were a pain. You know, you were a pest when you were a kid, and you know, when your hormones were raging, you know, in high school, you know, it was hard to deal with you. And it's all going to come back when you have your own children, right? But it's dafka in all those situations and more, that the person starts to realize that he has to integrate all of life into one circle dance, that there is no separation between the good times that you're having, the things that go well and go your way, and there's always going to be some of that, even though Chassid Shalom might become very small, and we hope that doesn't happen, but one never knows, and all the challenges, you know, financial meltdowns in the world at large, person's own personal unemployment, Chas v'shalom, illness, right? A lot of people, I'm sure you all know people who are waiting and waiting and still at the age of 50, unmarried, right? All sorts of stuff. But a person has to come to a realization that my life is not different pieces and fragments that don't fit together. All of my life is one unit. It's all one circle, right? And I've got to integrate the harder parts, the parts that are standing outside the circle, with the circle, with what makes me happy, what gives me the strength to begin with. Right? And when a person does that, so then he's really being v'simcha. Because then he's actually transforming, you know, the suffering and the challenges that he has into a life. Like he starts to recognize that Hashem is in fact everywhere and involved in everything and making his life happen and go. Any questions, comments? Yes, sir.
How would you go about doing, I mean, do you mind giving an example of integrating the difficult parts of your life into the aspect of Simcha? Like, how would you go about doing that?
How would I integrate it?
I mean, it's, if you have difficulties in your life, like a lot of us face, just for example, just generally we're all students and we have a lot of difficult tests at times, be very difficult, how do you integrate something from difficult parts of your life, or even more serious things like you were talking about, with family and pranas and all those other things,
mm-hmm.
How would you integrate that with Simcha? How is that done?
How have you done so far?
Not so well.
Not so well, okay. Well, the first thing to do, again, let's go back to the mashal, because as one of my teachers, Reb Tzvi Cheshen, who if you've ever learned in Yerushalayim and had anything to do with the Mir Yeshiva, you've probably heard of him. So he pointed out that, A, any and every mashal that Rabbi Nachman gives is not approximate, but exact. And he said, "Hu adin by all the mashalim that Chazal give. If you find the mashal in the Chazal, you can shtel, you can, you know, focus on each point by point, and there's something to learn there." It's, Chazal meant the mashal to be exactly the way it is. Right? So, how do you schlep it in? First of all, you have to not run away from the challenge. You have to realize, you know, that test is coming, that paper is due. Right. It won't help to check my email again, right? Or call somebody, or I forgot this. No, that's not going to help. Right? You've got the test, you've got the paper, whatever it is. You can't run away from it. Right? Maybe you get an extension. You know, but ultimately, you're going to have to face it. Right? That's the first thing. You know, it's there. Right? And then the second thing is, you have to make an honest evaluation. Right? It could be, you know, maybe a person is in over his head. You know, maybe he's taking too many credits, or this course is too difficult, he doesn't have to, you know. So I just can't do it. You know, realistically, not, you know, out of laziness, right? But a realistic evaluation, can I deal with this or not? You know, and assuming that a person says, okay, I can deal with it, it'll be difficult, right? So then, then the person says, okay, I've got this deadline, I've got this paper, I can write it. I gotta do it. That's really what it is. It's, you know, it's the recognition that there's a challenge, there's a recognition of the ability to deal with the challenge, and then there's the maturity of actually dealing with it, right? It's not something that comes necessarily, you know, by the time you're 18 or 28, or even 38 or 48. Right? You know, it takes a while. But that's okay. You know, there's no deadline. Right? But the most important thing is to, you know, own up to the fact that it's there and you have to deal with it. Right? And after that, you have to look for a practical, you know, depending on what the issue is, you know, practically, how do I deal with this particular issue? What I really would like to talk about tonight. You have time, yeah? is also somewhat related, you know, it's very much related to issues that not only students have, you know, not only the Talmidim have, but really that any thinking a person has. And anybody here studying for Smicha? Okay. Yeah, for me. Okay. And we all know, you know, there's an Easter of Basar V'Cholev. Right? And the Chiddush of Basar V'Cholev is?
Shneim Heter.
You want to have a milkshake? Go right ahead. Want to have a steak? Go right ahead. Want to have them both together? No. Why not? Right? Okay, because that's possible. When I say why not, I don't mean, you know, what can we learn from this? Right? What's a limud? Not necessarily the limud, but what's a limud from the fact that basar v'cholev is asur? So Reb Nosson talks about this in, naturally enough, Dvar Meyotzim Menachai, Halacha Dalit, a very long halacha. As you go through the Kutei Halachas, you'll start to notice that all the halachas Dalit are the longer ones. Dalit Beis are relatively short, Gimels are longer, Dalits are very long. The most famous paradox, which the Rambam and others talk about, is
Shadman.
I'm here.
Shadman, yeah.
Matter.
Zero.
Right, free will and foreknowledge, b'chira and yediyah. Right, Hashem Yisbarach knows exactly what we're going to do. Right, He knew 6,000 years ago. Right, what we're going to do. So how do we have bechira, and how can we choose to do it or not do it? Right? And the answer is, it's a paradox. With all the answers that are given, none of them are really answers. They're all, you know, they all can be slugged up. Right? And the fact is, it's a paradox. Right? And it's a basic premise that Rabbi Nachman lays down, is that the entire Bria is built on paradox. And part of the challenge that we have is to live with that dissonance. That a lot of things just don't make sense. Ain't no getting around it. You know? It's a fact. And Bechira and Yediyah is one of them. Right? Now, once upon a time, you know, here at Yeshiva University, you know, talk about Tikkunim, and Nitzotzot, you know, didn't go very far. And usually went right back into the person's mouth. We all know that, you know, it's Tikkunim, we do things, we make brachot, and this and that, you know, we're making Tikkunim. But did you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also makes Tikkunim? Raise your hand if you knew that. Because Rav is also making tikkunim all the time, right? Otherwise, how can you do tshuva, right? You know, the guy's dead. You shot him. How can you, you know, you're going like this at the fifth thing, Yom Kippur. It's not gonna bring him back, right? Elamai, because Rav is also somehow doing making tikkunim, right? The bechira that we have. Is our tikkunim. Will we choose what we're supposed to choose? Then we're making the tikkunim. Excuse me. Chas v'shalom, we make the wrong choices. Right? Whether they're tiny wrong choices or major wrong choices. So because Rav has to make the tikkunim. Right? So our tikkunim relate to the bechira, and because Rav relates to the idea. Now, because Rav is all powerful, right? Almighty, Kael, right? no matter what you do, and I hope you'll do it right the first time, right? No matter what you do, no matter how badly we mess up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great that he can fix anything. Right? If this is what we deliver, you know, we make mistakes. You ate the ham sandwich, you ate the cheeseburger, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can fix it. He can bring the world to exactly where he wants it to be, even if, as individuals or as a community, the Jews mess up. The way Rabbi Nachman put it in Yiddish, God feared Tamid Ois. God is always moving things to the proper conclusion, no matter what we do. And that's the tikkun from his side. Our job, nonetheless, is to do what's right, of course. I mean, we're not supposed to become, you know, Sapiens or Frankis, Rahman al-Islam, right? We're supposed to be good, Shomrei Torah Mitzvos. Well, Baruch Hashem, we, you know, made a mistake. Yeah, gotta do tshuva, but it's gonna get taken care of. Bosa b'cholov, right? So you have the basar. Basar is that's our tikkun, right? Without the shechita, without the malicha, you can't eat the meat, right? But basar is the human contribution to the tikkun olam. Cholav, that's a rosh shalom. It's davar yotzei min hachai, and it's heter, just as it is, right? But the tikkunim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, he has to make as we're on his own. And the tikkunim that we have to make on our own. And we can't mix the two up. Right? We can't rely on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making the tikkunim and therefore just turn life into some sort of wild party. Doing whatever we want, stealing from people, beating up people. You know. And well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fix it. That's Basar B'Cholov. That's living a Basar B'Cholov life. And we can't say, I don't have to do anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be just Mashpia, the Shefa, and we'll come. No, but also not. Right? At certain points, Cholov is necessary. Right? The time when we're weak and we're childlike. And we have to have the milk. We can't do it ourselves, right? Both in a physical sense when we're infants, and at various points in life. There are stages and there are periods where we need kindness, and we can't do it on our own. But there are also points where we're not supposed to wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do the job. We have to be proactive and do what we can do. And too much milk is unhealthy. And that, and if we mix them, right, then we're confusing everything. You can't mix the two. Rabbi Nosson attaches this, he hangs it as it were, on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Hillel says, Im Eina Nili Mili. He says, that's the tikkunim of the human being. You have to do it. If I don't do it, it's not going to get done. If I just live for my 70, 80 years, 120 years, you know, waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do everything, the job won't be done the way it's supposed to be. But, he says, "Imani la'atzmi, mo'ani." If it would be only up to me, that's impossible. Human beings on their own can only get so far, and that's not necessarily very far. Right? That's the tikkunim from the side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we, I mean, it's sort of obvious, but it does sometimes need to be stated, that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't do anything. We're just not going to be able to succeed, right? We all need to make our shtadlus, but we all know that at a certain point the shtadlus ends, and with all the great, you know, plans, you know, without Hakadosh Baruch Hu's help, doesn't happen. And then the Mishnah ends, Hillel finishes his statement by saying, these ideas are contradictory. If it's up to me, then I have to do everything. But if I need a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then I don't have to do anything. And let him do everything. And it doesn't matter what I do. Right? So a person might have a Havamina, says Rav Nosson, to say, well, when I figure out this paradox, then I'll start being a Jew. Then I'll start being Shem Torah Mitzvahs. And that's what he says. He'll start teaching us. You can't wait till you resolve the paradoxes of life in order to start living a Jewish life. You have to do it right now with the paradoxes unresolved. And the paradoxes are unresolved. And that's okay. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Dafka, that we can't understand it. And Dafka, so we have to have a Muna. Because if we could figure it out, so... would you want to worship a god you could figure out? Sort of god would that be? So Dafka, the world is made in such a way that there are paradoxes and we can't figure them out. And nonetheless, we have to do what we have to do. And we have to know that whatever we're doing, the Rabbani Shalom is carrying us both before, during, and after. And because even, you know, questions come one after the other, right? Even our very rotzen to want to be shomer Torah mitzvahs, right? Where does that come from? Well, I want to put on talis in the morning. I want to, you know, say Kriya Shema, right? Where does that come from? Who put it there? And did I put it there, or did Hakadosh Baruch Hu put it there? So all these paradoxes run one after another, and if a person insists on resolving them, and he'll never be able to be the Jew he's supposed to be. And a person has to say, Ad kan, I can comprehend. But from this point further, I have to have a Muna. I know I don't understand. I know I might never understand. I know I might understand and then not understand again. That also happens. That the intellectual understanding comes and goes. Nonetheless, I'm giving over to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. I'm going to have a Muna. Questions? Come on. Questions, comments? I know it's late for me. Okay, very good. I didn't realize I was such a great teacher and so clear. Okay, I mean, I know it's good, but, you know. Okay. Anybody have questions in general about Breslov? Anything you want to know about Breslov? I'll try to answer. Don't be shy. Yes, sir.
Maybe interested in talking about Asperger's a little bit?
Sure. Everybody here knows what Asperger's is, the meaning of the word at least?
Yeah.
In all modesty, I just want to say I happen to have written a Madrich, a guide to doing Asperger's. It's called, what's it called? Where Earth and Heaven Kiss, I think it's called. No, seriously, I'm going to forget what it's called. Where Earth and Heaven Kiss. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra, you know, from the Rabbi Barbar Chana Gemara, where he meets the Arab merchant, and the Arab merchant says to him, come and I'll show you where Earth and Heaven Kiss. So that's where the title of the book comes from. And Rabbi Nachman brings that Gemara and relates it to Tefillah. Right? Okay. Hesbodus, right? Just in case anybody's forgotten. Hesbodus means self-seclusion. The way the Reb Nachman defines it and uses the word means taking time every day, right? Don't leave now. This is the climate.
I'm not planning on leaving.
Okay, now. Lack of door, just make sure. that's my line. Taking time every day to talk to the Rebbeinu Shalom in your own words. about whatever you want, right? And not just to turn the, you know, your time alone with Hashem into an extended gimme session, right? As if Shmona Esrei wasn't enough, and they have to you have an extra long list. It's not, you know, not coming to sit on somebody's lap and telling them you were a good boy. And this is what you want for the holiday season. You know, it's not like that at all, right? Although certainly you're entitled to ask, and sometimes you know you need to ask. What would it be if I didn't tell a Hasidic Shemaisa? So I'll tell a Hasidic Shemaisa. The Rebbe Lemelech of Lizhensk and his Talmidim were once having some sort of Suda, I don't know exactly what the occasion was, and his Talmud, Rebbe Mendel Rimenever, right, was one of the people at the Suda, and the soup was served. Right? And Rebbe Mendel didn't have a spoon. Right? And so he just sat there with his bowl of soup in front of him. The Rebbe Lemelech noticed that he wasn't eating, and he said, Rebbe Mendel, why aren't you eating? So he said, Rebbe, I don't have a spoon. So the Rebbe Lemelech said to him, sometimes you have to ask for a spoon, and sometimes you even have to ask for a bowl. Still such a deacon driven on lane off to Israel and Maine. It's something, you don't have. You have to ask for the spoon so you can make use of the chef, and sometimes you have to ask for the bowl so you get the soup. Right? So go home, you'll think about it more. I'll see the coffee in the morning. Let's see, it's a very deep mice. So sometimes you have to ask the Kaddish Baruch Hu. You know, sometimes you don't know where to fit in the Shmoneh Esrei, even in the Lekai Netzor, you know, exactly what it is that, you know, to ask for. So you sometimes have to need some extra time on your own. Right? But really, the Iker, the essence of his Hesbodes is Uvoisid Bok. Mamish, that you take time out, right? Rav Nachman says an hour a day, that's a lot, you know, especially if you've never done it before, right? But at the beginning, 5 or 10 minutes a day, if you buy the book, there's supposed to be a card in there that says 1 minute is by this, but if they don't have the card, they'll email me, I'll mail it to you, right? You won't be the first one. Take time, Rabbi Shalalim, you mean so much to me, that for the next 5 minutes, I'm not going to do anything but just sit here and be alone with you. Don't say a word. I like you so much. I can shut off my iPod. I don't have to rush to the next class. Right? No, I don't even have to learn your Torah to like you. I just love you yourself. Right? I heard this from Reb Moshe Weinberger of Eish Kodesh, Woodmere. So he mentioned once that there was a Chabadnik, Reb Mendel Futterfass, Echrem Levracha. He spent, also in Siberia at some point, this Reb Mendel Futterfass. Yeah. And when he got out, so he said, you can find a couple of from Bregen on YouTube with Reb Mendel. You can. Don't ask me how I know. Right? So Reb Mendel said, that his time in some of the best times of his life were in Siberia. Weekend sign, how could that be? He said he didn't have a mezuzah on the door, he didn't have talis and tefillin, he didn't have tzitzis. He said, I had nothing but the Rebbe Shalom himself. When you do his voidus, you know, first and foremost is, Moshem, I just have you. And that's the whole point of life, is to be Dovik Takadosh Baruch Hu. When you eat, when you drink, even when you're davening, you're supposed to be Dovik Takadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Even when you're learning Torah, you're supposed to be Dovik Takadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So in a certain sense, this is the whole point of life. That is the Tachlis. Right? We don't see it that way. Right? That's part of the Golas. No, we don't see that what things for the way they are, but you know the truth is, you know, and again, okay, so it was only one or two married people there, right? But you're all if not already in Shidduchim, going to be in Shidduchim shortly, right? You know, how are you going to decide whether or not to marry the girl? You go out on one date, two dates, whatever, you know, it takes. But not just going to sit there and talk to her. And you're also going to end up listening a lot, and you're also going to do some talking, right? Right? Who are you? What are you? You know, to develop a relationship, right? Even guys with guys, you know, like, hey, talk to a guy, hey, it's like a schmacky guy, this guy is okay, you know. But you talk, you develop a relationship. You talk with the Rebbeinu Shalom to develop a relationship. I'm with Tikasha. Oh, but he doesn't. The Rebbeinu Shalom talks to us all the time. Question, are we listening? Are we, you know, are we sensitive enough to pick up the fact that he's trying to communicate with us? You know, oh, he sent some guy to speak to us about wrestling. That's just something. What did they say? I don't know. You know, when a guy sends me an email, maybe you want to come to YU. So the voice is telling me something. Maybe I should come to YU at 10 o'clock at night. You know. But all sorts of things like that, you know. The fact that you quote unquote random events, you walk by and you hear something or see something. Who's doing that? Who's setting up the world so that this is what's happening to you? Who's, you know, who makes, you know, somebody sick? Who makes this? Who, you know, I guess some things, of course, you know, like, what does exactly it mean that, you know, some things are beyond us, but certain things are quite, you know, meant for us, and we have to, you know, be paying attention. And one of the Tainus, Tosfos brings, where I think it's in Sefer Tainus, one of the Tainus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had on Klal Yisrael was, I forget the whole Gemara, but you know, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for certain things, because Moshe Rabbeinu was so developed that he was already, you know, been needed. But Klal Yisrael had made certain mistakes, and they needed to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ask for his protection and Siyat Dishmaya and certain things. And so each of us here has his weaknesses, right? And we have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask for his protection. And we have to realize what our weaknesses are. Now, some guys here, you know, have a lot of money. Now, not having a lot of money, right? Is a bracha on one hand, because it, well, you can do stuff if you have money, you know. But having money is also a temptation, because you have a lot of money, you can do stuff, right? A different sort of stuff, you know. Being handsome is a different sort of temptation, right? Being, you know, a man is one temptation, being a woman is another temptation, you know? I mean, all these things are messages. Who am I? What am I? What am I capable of? You know, am I a musical type? Am I an artsy type? Am I a nerd? You know, who am I? I have to know who I am, because I don't know who I am myself. How can I relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Right? So these are all messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you take a look, there's also different ways of approaching it. You know, am I the only son in the family? Am I the bechor, and I'm the leader of the family? I'm the youngest, and then tum-tum all the time by everybody. You know, all these things are, you know, because the Baruch Hu is telling you who you are and who you're supposed to be, and you're supposed to be responding. Right? But if you don't take the time to develop that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, what are you trying to tell me? You know, what do you want? What do I want? You know, so it doesn't happen. So that's, you know, a big part of the Hizbodus. But the Hizbodus is so powerful that the Yetzirah will tell you, you have to test, you have the Talmud Torah, and you have to be on time for davening. All these things are true, right? But you also have to remember, you know, that ultimately, you know, and we talked about this last week, you know, everybody in this room will one day be dead. You, me, you know, everybody you know will one day be dead, right? It's a fact, you know, and it's not a surprise, is it? Anybody surprised by that? Right? When you're, we're mortal, right? So ultimately, you're gonna have to, you know, say like, well, what's this all about? Why am I here? What am I doing? How am I doing it? You know. So his bodhis is an opportunity, it's a gift to develop your relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to find out more about who you yourself are, what your koiches are as a yid, what you're meant to do as a yid, right? Whether you're supposed to be a rav and learning all day, whether you're supposed to be an accountant, you know, whether you're supposed to be something else, whatever it may turn out to be. Good with people, not good with people, all these sorts of things. But this book, this is where you take the time to find out who you are, what Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants from you, and how to integrate all the various facets of Yiddishkeit in your life so that you can be the Jew you're supposed to be. But because it's such a powerful thing, the Yetzara tries to distract us, tries to make us forget, tries to put quote unquote more important things in our way. You know? We have to remember, you know, no, when I'm doing this way, this, I'm with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what he wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me, and I want him. Yes, sir.
You spoke about the Bechina of Basar here, that we have to do a shtatlus in this world,
right,
to a certain point. Usually people associate with breasts of a certain, just, I don't know, right off the bat, for example, like Gordon Bino has to say about doctors and that medical help. So usually people associate with breasts as sort of, you know, antipathy towards any high level. So how do those two things?
Antipathy of what?
Towards maybe more status. I mean,
right, okay. So, the whole thing with doctors is a different issue. Let's leave it on the side. Surprisingly, to most people, Rav Inizal says in Sefer Amidus that when you can do something on your own, don't bother Kodesh Baruch Hu with davening. You know, go already. Do. I mean, sometimes you have to daven in order to have the kelim, the ability to do something. But once you already have the kelim, then it's time to start davening and start doing. The trick is to figure out which is which. But okay, but that's part of what life is, trying to figure things out. I mean, life is never static.
Sorry, do you mind just telling us a bit like about Rav Nachman's view of the tzaddik and how that plays a role in a Jew's avoda?
Okay. No, when I was a couple of years ago, my friend Nathan Greenberg of the Barai Yeshiva asked me to speak about being a chassid lemaisa, right? And so I organized the thing, and one of the topics was the role of the tzaddik and all this. And I wanted to start with that. He said, no, that's something you have to end with. You can't start with that. That's too much for most people. Okay, the role of the tzaddik, al regalachas, is like this. First of all, the tzaddik is basically the tzaddik is a human being, right? We never chas shalom rachman al tzlan. We never dive into the tzaddik. We never worship a tzaddik. Chas shalom. We revere a tzaddik. Definitely, right? And you take a look in the Zohar Kodesh, right? It says at least in one place, maybe more, that they would bow down to Rabbi Shimon. Literally, bow down to him. Okay, my son Tine is, that was the custom of giving derech eretz at the time. It was like a handshake or something, you know, like kissing the back of the hand. Okay, but still, you know, so we never worship tzaddik, but we revere. And that's a big difference. Sometimes it's a very fine line, but it's a huge difference. Critical, right? Okay. Now, the tzaddik is, you know, the tzaddik is not, Rabbi Nachman wasn't the first tzaddik in the world. Mr. Shelech was a tzaddik, Adam Rishon was a tzaddik ador, you know, Noach was a tzaddik ador, right? The tzaddik, as the Rebbe meant it, as meant in Chassidus, is that there is a human being who is a Superman, and he has more power to affect, to move things in realms that we cannot see, right? And he has the ability to see those realms right here in the same Dalai that we stand, and he sees something totally different, right? And he can deal with those things more directly than we can. It's like you and I see one another, so Tzaddik sees a different sort of world. He sees us and he sees other things that are going on as well, right? And not only, you know, in a physical, spatial way, right, but even the foresight to be able to see into the future, right? And not only in a logical sense of understanding what will come out, but just as, you know, you and I can see, you know, in a three-dimensional sort of way, the tzaddik is living in a different dimension. The function of the tzaddik, A, is to teach. It's also to correct mistakes, right? That's a big thing that tzaddikim do. The function of the tzaddikim is to use a dangerous word, intercede on our behalf, but not chas v'shalom as an intermediary, but more as a melitz, as a lawyer. Lahav dalelef abdallas, the word I publish in Jews. But that's also, you know, in that sense, the tzaddik intercedes on our behalf, right? But again, we never worship the tzaddik, never ever. Right? Revere and adore, okay. Worship, no. And ultimately, the tzaddik means to be transparent. You know, even as much as a person goes through Reb Nachman's firm and he sees that Reb Nachman, in almost every lesson, is talking about the tzaddik, you know, and the greatness of tzaddik and the importance of being attached to a tzaddik, right? But ultimately, the whole idea of being Makusha, of being attached to the tzaddik, is so that the tzaddik should be not there. So that you, every Jew, has a direct and immediate relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But then, again, paradoxically, that comes about by affiliating with the tzaddik, learning what the tzaddik has to teach, where possible, doing something on behalf of the tzaddik shimush. You know. But all that, ultimately, so the tzaddik is not there, and that you have, to the fullest extent that you're capable of, a direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, sir.
I know Rabbeinu says not to learn the Sfarim of the Nechkarim. And he says that even to like the Jewish philosophy books, like the Menuhin.
Right.
Is that also extended to the Kuzari?
The Kuzari apparently is kosher. I don't know exactly the difference, I don't know, but I know Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, Shlita, quotes the Kuzari.
Right. So I know Rabbeinu goes out very strong against...
Right, but the Rebbe says about the Rambam and the Moira is...
Yeah.
Right. The Rambam in general is a very, you know, Peletic, a very amazing thing, because, you know, imagine nowadays, you know, somebody like that would be a big poisek, may write, you know, a sefer like that, you know, they would be hung out to dry, you know. But the Rambam gets away with it, you know, exactly how and why.
Rabbeinu says that only the tzaddik could be ma'ayin and such a svar. Is he talking about the mechkarim of the secular people, or is that also the mechkarim of the...
In general. Yeah. And will the tzaddik read more in the Ruchim? The Kotzke read it, the Rebbe and the Zal read it. You know, probably Reb Nosson also read it. But...
No, because in that Torah of Bola Faro, it says only the tzaddik should get involved in it.
Yeah, but you have to see what Reb Nosson says also. I mean, yes, people shouldn't get involved with it, but sometimes, you know, there are individuals who may need to, but that all depends on their kalim, and then also part of the mission.
Can we say that the tzaddik like today is like Am Yisrael in general?
I don't know who it was. I know it was, I think it was a Talmud of Rav Kook or a Talmud of Tzvi Yehuda, but I don't remember his name.
So it's Tzvi Yehuda himself.
But it was either Rav Kook or Tzvi Yehuda, Talmud of Rav Kook or Talmud of Rav Tzvi Yehuda, Somebody once asked him about learning Breslov Sfarim, and whoever this Rosh Hashiva, this, you know, Tzioni Rosh Hashiva was, told him, you can learn it, but wherever Rav Nachman says Tzaddik, read Knesset Yisrael. So, I could be, I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking the way I heard it. That's why I'm not, you know, the big, the woman of Cook's farm.
Wait, so could that be possible?
Well, try it, see what happens. No, well, listen, Rav Cook doesn't, you know, need my escama. You know, he's had an idea, you know.
That's Amisha as a cloud to be also in his farm and not the pot?
That's a good question. I can't answer that one.
So just like stay with Rabbeinu's story.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch that.
Okay. Any other questions? Anything else you want? You're not related to what we've spoken to.
Based on what you said before, according to Rabbeinu, what's the proper balance between Hishtalis and Pitachon?
Depends on who the person is. Well, it's like this. Rabbeinu Zal says again in Sefer Midos that it's good for a person to have a mam and parnasa. It's good to know where your next paycheck is coming from, right? And the Rebbe says a person can be an emesik tzaddik, not a tzaddik ador type of tzaddik, but an emesik tzaddik, even though his betochen is not 100%. The Rebbe writes that meferish, right? Any sort of avodah, betochen, emuna, yirshmaim, all these things, takes a certain amount of energy, right? Now, your person, right? We know, each and every one of us, on Rosh Hashanah, it's written down, this is how much you're going to make this year, this is how much your partner is going to be. It doesn't matter what you do, right? Sit back and you're a lazy boy, it's going to come, right? Work overtime, you know, not going to make a penny more. Right? We believe that, Ma'amun Shlema, right? Now, the question is, you know, if you do nothing, right, and just have the bitochen, that's going to take a certain amount of energy out of you, right, which you might not have. And so memelo, automatically, what happens is that you'll have less energy to devote to nimra Torah, davening b'kavana, or something else, right? So a person has to, again, know himself, this is how much bitochen I have. Now, I have such bitochen that I only need to work 4 hours a day, or I have such bitochen that I have to work 8 hours a day. Right? Otherwise, I'll be too nervous and I won't be able to do any sort of learning. My davening will be just thinking about where my paycheck is coming from, how I'm going to cover the bills. So a person has to know himself, you know, how much betachon does he have, you know, what's realistic, and then go from there. Don't be shy.
I've seen in different Tikkun HaKvalis that they list this whole list of things that Tikkun HaKvalis in this one it says Tikkun HaKvalis Segula Lehinatzah V'kol HaChavim V'mashchitim V'machot V'kol Minei V'ka'im Ra'im V'sugubah L'shiduchim V'anim V'kol Yishu'ot V'atzim V'kol Ma'achulot Sugubah I've only seen Rabbeinu speak about Tikkun HaKvalis maybe once or twice in the Kudmar. I haven't seen a lot of the Kudmar on, but where he specifically says that it's for Tikkun HaBrit, and they've come up with this. I mean, it's called Tikkun HaKvalis, I understand.
Okay.
But Rabbeinu specifically says that these 10.
Okay, so the pulled the Tikkun HaKvalis because they said, if you take care of this, then everything else falls into place. And once a person has, some control in that area of life, so other things follow more easily. That's why the Rebbe calls it Tikkun HaKvalis. And the Rebbe talks about Tikkun HaKvalis also. There's a Tikkun HaKvalis l'gavi money, there's a Tikkun HaKvalis l'gavi eating. No. They're in different things. So take a look in Torah Chavtes in the first Chalik, in Likutei Maharan. The Rebbe talks about it. All of that you read, that's sort of like an extrapolation. And once, you know, because what happens, chas v'shalom, if a person made a mistake, right, you know, when he was naughty, right, so he creates mechablim and kitrukim and etc., etc. So, mamela, if you say tikkun echlali, it's going to the mikveh, right, so then you're saved from all that, right. And the Maisa, since you brought up, let's talk about this a little bit about Tikkun HaKlali and going to Uman, right? So first of all, Rabbi Nizal prescribed Tikkun HaKlali specifically for, you know, somebody had an emission, you know, and specifically, especially if a person was busy, you know, one of my Rebbeim's, Tzvi Cheshen said, you know, Artzot HaBrit and Tikkun HaBrit don't go together. I mean, even what they consider innocuous is, you know, Shreklach, right? So, the Rebbe said, you know, human beings, and you should know, I mean, let's, you know, be frank here a little bit. You know, we're all men, we're all, you know, we were created with this temptation, reason, the Zohar Kodesh calls it the most difficult temptation to deal with. This is the eco challenge of life, right? It happens, you know? It happens. Go to the mikveh, say Tikkun HaKlali. The Rebbe says, don't worry about it. Mamash, that's the Lashon HaRikvah. Don't worry about it. Don't beat yourself up. You're not a Rasha, and you're not going to hell, and you're not doomed, you know, you're okay. Right? And the Rebbe said, you know, specifically to say, you know, for that Indian, and, you know, when necessary. L'maisa, it's become common practice in Breslov, although not 100%, 99.9% maybe, right, that people say Tikkun HaKlali every day, right? The Svar being, as someone told me, Madach, it's good after things went wrong, to prevent things from going wrong, right? And it's true, if you, you know, a person has his consciousness of, you know, Tikkun HaKlali, so he's a little more, as they say in Yiddish, upkeit, he's a little more protected. He's got to be, you know, careful without being neurotic, you know, because the Rebbe says, if you're neurotic, you know, so that besides the fact that a neurotic Jew is not really going to be a very strong Jew, but the very fact that the person's neurotic and worried about this Indian will bring them to more troubles, right? The Gabe saying Tikkun HaKlali at Rabbi Nachman's Siyan in Uman, so there's the Inyan of Rosh Hashanah and there's the Inyan of the Haftacha, the guarantee that the Rebbe gave that if a person comes and says, give tzedakah l'ilus nishmosai, it says Tikkun HaKlali by his kever, so the Rebbe will do everything that he can for the person to pull him out by his pace, right? You know, from Gehenna. Right? So bias space doesn't necessarily mean only this, right? But bias space means by any shred of Yiddishkeit that a person has. The Rebbe will find that, we have all that, and schlep him out of Gehenna. And the Rebbe doesn't only mean Gehenna, that hot place, Hades, wherever it is, but the Rebbe means Gehenna right here in this world. And I'm sort of Gehenna in prison, undergoing. The Indian of Rosh Hashanah is especially, the Rebbe said, the Rosh Hashanah was a special gift that he received from Kadosh Baruch Hu, not out of any school service or anything, and that's where the Rebbe has, as were, you know, extra strength to do more for a person. But there's two different things. So the Haftacha, the promise of saying Tikkun HaKlali by the Rebbe's Tzion, and then the fact that, you know, Rosh Hashanah is the ideal time because the Rebbe has more going for him. In matter of practice, although I know many of my teachers insist, you know, if that person's coming, you should come already for Rosh Hashanah, it's not necessarily the best thing for everybody to be the Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a huge gathering. A lot of people do better, you know, when things are quieter. So again, this idea of knowing who you are, so if and when, you know, you'll be ready to go to Uman, you'll have to figure out, you know, can I deal with a crowd of 15,000, 20,000 people, of all different types of people who I'm not used to dealing with all year long, and I may not exactly agree with their sort of derech eretz and this and that, might not be able, might freak me out, as we once upon a time used to say, right? Or am I better off going at a quieter time when, you know, when I'll be able to have, you know, quiet time. Yeah. Well, first time question first.
Just regarding
like tshuva. I heard from a, I don't want to say who, because I might look at it, but the Chassidish Rebbe, who said that it's important to learn Rebbe Nachman, usually, but you also have to learn everything else, because it's a lot of like chizuk, and you know, you're good, and don't worry, but there's still an element to tshuva. I mean, you still need to.
Right, absolutely.
And everything, so just,
okay.
Don't feel bad about anything.
No. Rav Nosson says in Lakuta Tefillis, right, Hashem, please help me to be zeicha to feel the pain of my averus. Right? Not to be so stone-hearted and to slough things off, but to feel oivei. Right? Yeah. So a few things. First of all, in the Chaim Aran, the Rebbe says you should learn all the svarim, including all the Chassidish svarim. Right? He specifically mentions Noam Elimelech, right? But in other couple others. But the Rebbe himself said to learn all the Chassidish svarim, right? And the truth is, you know, Lakutei Moran is not all warm and fuzzy. Not at all. You know, there's some really tough stuff in there. You know, but again, most people don't have the time to learn the Be'ian to really get to that sort of nitty gritty stuff that really challenges the person. But it's there. Right? And I don't know. Probably in Kedushas Levi also, but I can't, you know, do that also. Yes. Last question.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So should women take
Tikkun? In point of fact, a lot of women do, and it certainly doesn't hurt. But again, the Rebbe himself didn't say that women should also say it. He never addressed that directly. But you know, I know many women who's, you know, from real, you know, died in the world breast of the families, and they have said Tikkun Klali, they do say Tikkun Klali, and I've said about Tzion, and the Rebbe Tzion. So, okay. Again, another last question. No? I think it's a good person.
I heard that Rabbeinu said that if you made all this Hasidim, like walking the street, people would bow down to them, but he said that the Shari and Shemaim, that you can only get to the Derech Bizyono, so you choose that way.
I don't know. I never heard of such a sikha. If you hear such sikhas, you have to ask where the Makor is. Where is it inside?
Okay.
Say it as well. You can ask where Blazer, where you heard it from. Where is it? No, I mean, if he's saying the name of Blazer, where is it? You know, not only because Moran, it's not in the sikha, it's not in Chama Iran. Where is it, where it's from? No, I'm not. You know,
says that's like a lot of lessons. There are Buddhists who design.
Yeah, right. That part that the Rebbe, you know that it's more through the Bizyonis than through the Kavod. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But with the back now part, that's, I don't know where that's from.
Is there what's the most important avoda from Presa that one should take upon himself?
Tefillah, it's pointless. Because. It's I should work out the book, right? But because I'll tell you, let me read you a little bit of Lukas Moran, you know, a very short piece, and good way to finish off for now. It's the Torah Kufiyad Aleph in the second Chalik. So almost there. Echad Shoal Oisoi, Meinyan his Hanhogis is Kavis Hashem is Baruch. Somebody once asked Rabbi Nachman about how to conduct himself, what sort of what he should do in order to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ritzivaloi, and the Rabbi Nizal answered him, Lil Moit, you should learn something, Chuli, whatever it was. Veshoal Oisoi, and that Yid asked Rabbi Nachman, Haloi, Eini Yochel Lil Moit. I'm not able to learn, I'm not such a learner. Heishav loy, so the Rebbe responded to him, Al yedei tefila yecholin lovoy lakoil. With davening you come to everything. L'chol tuv, to everything good. L'toira v'avoida, l'chol ha-kedushois, l'chol ha-avoidois, l'chol ha-toivos, l'chol ha-elamois. Right? I need to learn, I need your help to teach me how to learn, to make the breakthrough, so that intellectually I can learn, the breakthroughs, like mikovei itam the Torah and show up. I'm not going to be a student forever. I'm going to have to leave the hallowed halls of the Beis Medrash. I need to know how to be Koveya Torah, you know, afterwards, right? I need to daven. I need to daven with Kavana. I need Amuna. I need Kedusha. I need to be able to resist my temptations, etc., etc. L'chol Torah v'avoida v'kol Kedushas v'avoidas, right? Pam Echad Omar. And one time the Rebbe said on a different occasion, if they would let a dead person come back for a visit, right, to let them, you know, get a temporary tchias amesim, right, to daven, right, the person would certainly daven with every bit of strength he has. So the ikar avoda is tefillah, because tefillah, you know, tefillah leads you to everything else. So I'm Yitzhak Shem, we should make the time and have the time and overcome all the challenges to speak to Hashem every day. Baruch Matzlacha. Cut.